Greetings everyone, this is Jim with Roosters Firearms. I wanted to let you know that we have a large selection of consignment firearms for sale, including an estate collection of early classic pieces that I think you will find interesting. Consignments have been selling very well lately, and new additions are coming in on a daily basis. Also, keep in mind, if you have firearms that you want to turn into cash, now is the time to consign them with Roosters. And if you just want to sell them outright, we'll make you a great offer and we'll buy them from you. Also, don't forget that we continue to offer the 1,000-round case of 9mm range ammunition at the sale price of just $309.
Hi, this is Terry. Now that the weather is getting nice, it's time to take your sweetheart out to the range. Whether your sweetheart is a rifle, a shotgun, a pistol, or a revolver, it's time to go shooting. We have ear and eye protection, bags and slings, holsters and cleaning kits, and cool shirts, because you need to look good on the range too. We have everything you need as a beginner shooter and as a competitive shooter. Everything you need is at Roosters Firearms at 98 South Main Street in downtown Templeton.
Lars Larson on KPRL, brought to you by Boyd's Tobacco and Elegant Gifts. Enjoy a handmade cigar in the lounge, 625 Spring Street. Must be 21 years of age or older.
Maybe be a white boy, but I'm not stupid.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
Somebody at the White House has been smoking the devil's lettuce.
Honestly, provocative talk radio.
More than half the women in my cabinet, more than half the people in my cabinet, more than half the women in my administration are women.
Lars.
Never apologize for being patriotic.
Our beloved republic is in the hands of madmen. This is a dark day.
Now, here's your host.
My memory is so bad, I let you speak.
Lars Larson.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It's a Tuesday on Honestly Provocative Talk Radio, and you got to consider this. Is anybody safe if even Joe Biden's Secret Service ends up being attacked? I'll tell you about what happened in Los Angeles. It was in Tustin, California. A Secret Service agent robbed at gunpoint, and I'll get into the details on that in just a moment. And second, Reuters is now reporting, remember back when the United States military was spending a lot of time and effort and firing a lot of members of our military because they wouldn't take the jab? I mean, they were very pro-jab, and by jab, for those of you who haven't been paying attention for the last 4 years, that would be the mRNA vaccine that wasn't quite a vaccine because it didn't stop anybody from getting COVID, getting very sick from COVID, or even dying from COVID. But they called it a vaccine because they wanted to sell billions of dollars worth of that so-called vaccine. Well, at the same time, the U.S. military was insisting its own members had to take the jab. They were actually, the military, the Pentagon, was actually taking part in anti-vax campaigns in other parts of planet Earth, just not in the United States. And I'll get into the details on that, too. First, I'm glad to take your calls. We call this the best conversation in talk journalism. And if you want to be part of it, it's 866-HEY-LARS. That's 866-439-5277. If you happen to be a naysayer, and we love naysayers on this program, we'll put you right to the head of the line at 866-439-5277. You can always send an email to talk@larslarson.com. And if you want to vote in our poll on X, it's free to do. Kind of fun, and we get some interesting results. Should Joe Biden eliminate barriers to citizenship for illegal aliens who marry Americans? You might have heard about this. Joe Biden has announced today that he is planning to give a fast track to citizenship for about 500,000 illegal aliens. He says, and a lot of the mainstream media has been, you know, they always carry water for Joe. They say Joe Biden has announced a program to smooth out the speed bumps for illegal immigrants. They call them immigrants. They are, in fact, aliens who are married to American citizens so they can apply for residency and then get citizenship. Now, that's the way the Washington Post describes it. When they talk about smoothing out speed bumps, this is reporter talk for Joe Biden is going to take parts that are federal law. He's going to tell his bureaucracies not to follow the federal law, but to do what he tells them to do instead. And if you're asking yourself at that point, Lars, isn't that called changing the law? And don't we do that through votes in the U.S. Congress? You are absolutely right. That's what Joe Biden wants to do. He wants to change the law without all that bother about going up to Capitol Hill and getting 218 votes in the House of Representatives and 51 votes in the Senate and then signing a bill to actually change the law. That's right. Joe Biden is doing it the same way that Barack Obama did DACA. He just says, I can't get the Congress to do this. The people's representatives won't go for it. So I'll just go ahead and do it. even though Obama had said a year before that he didn't have the legal or constitutional authority to do any such thing. Joe Biden doesn't have that authority either, but he's going to do it anyway, because that's the way they work. Coming up this hour, let me tell you what's coming up. With the 2017 Tax Cuts and Job Act set to expire next year, unless Joe Biden is no longer president, unless the Republicans have majorities in the House and the Senate, could we slash taxes to a nearly 100-year low? We'll talk about that. I can think about hundreds of reasons why you should not vote for Joe Biden come November, but are his disastrous border policies at the top of that list? Well, they didn't used to be one of the major issues for American voters, but they are today, and Joe knows it, which is why he's trying to do that sleazy quid pro Joe, where he says, I'm going to make a fast track to citizenship for 500,000 illegal aliens, hoping that their friends and family members will all remember that favor when it comes to November the 5th. And in Chicago, why are we giving a paid day off to teachers to ask our government about getting more pay as student performance is hitting record lows? I'm not kidding. We have seen a dramatic increase in funding for public education. Chicago is one of those places where in about the last 12 years, the amount of money spent on public education has doubled, while the test scores have been steadily going down, down, and down. And a shout out to our friends in Austin, Minnesota, who listen to great talk radio all day on KAUS. That's AM 1480. You can find my show there as well. To your calls. Let's start with Naysayer Dean. Dean, you know, if you listen to the show, we love naysayers. So welcome to the program. Thanks for calling. And what is it that you and I disagree about that makes you a naysayer?
You know, I agree with you on most things, but on the tip tax bit here, I will disagree, and I'll disagree on these grounds.
Okay.
I actually agree with the previous caller, which is I like the idea of professional waiters and waitresses on getting a higher pay and gratuities being more like completely unaccepted and an extreme rarity for someone who goes truly above and beyond. That would make it more like a standard job place where you could have somebody who might be not performing as well as they should be for the job that they're being paid for. You can notify their manager. That person could be removed and put back as a dishwasher or promoted to customer, if you will. But that way you would have more predictable billing. You would have more, you know, standardized service, and those truly exceptional people would get an actual gift.
Do you know what I worry about standardized service, Dean? I don't want standardized service if I can avoid it. I mean, if I, whether I'm ordering a cup of coffee or a meal, no matter what the service is I'm getting, wouldn't you like to get extraordinary service?
Well, let me ask you this. When you take your, let's say I drive a truck. So let's say you take your truck into a dealership. Wouldn't you want your dealership to be a standardized service where, you know, I take my truck in, oil change gets done the same way every time, and we're good?
Well, there's a little bit of a difference there, Dean, because if I wanted to be treated at the coffee stand or the coffee shop or at a restaurant the way I'm at a place that's changing my oil, all I expect is you to competently change the oil. There's not really a way to say, wow, he brought that oil out in a way that was just so, you know, so impressive. I mean, there's a difference in that kind of service, isn't there? If you go in and say, I need my transmission serviced and I need the oil changed. Well, they either do it competently or they don't, right? And you would assume that most shops would do it competently. But is there any way, whereas if you have a waiter who's completely indifferent to you, he takes your order, he does what he's, does what he or she is required to do. They take your order, they transmit it to the kitchen, they get the food, they bring it back, they set it in front of you. Now, with all of that, is that's what you get at a restaurant. Are there waiters and waitresses who, by their conduct, are making that meal a much better experience than it would with somebody who, once they've taken your order, once they've delivered your food, they're not shortchanging you on anything, but there's nothing extraordinary about that, right?
I would agree with you on that front, but I would also say this.
I want the person who does the extraordinary service to get a tip. And I want the person who's just, I'm here, I'm delivering food, it's not a job I'm terribly crazy about, I have to take your order, I have to deliver your food, the service that is, I've done what I'm required to do, but nothing more, that person should not get a tip. And the person who's great at it ought to get a big fat tip. But good naysayer, Dean. Thank you for the call. Back in a moment. You're listening to the Lars Larson Show.
Hi, I'm Henry Winkler. My eyes are very important to me. My eyes connect me with everything I love. I loved my late father-in-law dearly. He always lit up a room, but his vision dimmed with age. He had age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. And since partnering with Apellis, I've learned there's an advanced form of dry AMD called geographic atrophy, or GA. His struggle with vision loss made me want to help others know about GA's warning signs. For some, colors appear dull or washed out. For others, hazy or blurred vision make it hard to see details, like fine print on price tags. Many have trouble seeing in the dark, making driving at night difficult. GA gets worse over time and cannot be reversed. If you think you have GA, don't wait. Treatments are available. Ask a retina specialist about FDA-approved treatments for GA and go to GAWon'tWait.com.
Hi, I'm Cesar Millan. People are always commenting on how happy and healthy my dogs are. One of the reasons is the food my dogs eat.
Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend is a premium freeze-dried raw dog food designed to support your dog's health, happiness, and lifespan.
Their joints are more flexible, their teeth are cleaner, and their coat shinier. And why they seem more youthful even as they age.
I'm veterinarian Dr. Marty Goldstein. I've helped countless dogs thrive with one simple concept. Your dog needs a high meat diet similar to what their ancestors ate in the wild.
Dr. Marty created Nature's Blend using 50 years of nutritional research and experience, helping dogs make incredible turnarounds. Save up to 54% off Nature's Blend and get a free bag of Cod Crispies, their wild-caught, ultra-crunchy cod skin treats. Go to drmartypets.com/pets or text PETS to 511-511.
Your order is backed with a 90-day guarantee.
All dogs are unique. Your dog results can and will vary. Message and data rates may apply. Paid for by Dr. Marty Pets.
One in four Americans have a disability. I'm one of them. I'm also a working mom who cares deeply about making sure every child with a disability thrives by getting their access needs met. We've got a trusted ally by our side. Easter Seals provides children and families the foundation for lifelong success through early learning programs, skills training, and prep for college and career. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours. Join us at EasterSeals.com.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
You know that reaction that people have on TV when they get to the newly remodeled bathroom? That wow moment is key when it comes to loving your remodel. Hi, this is Brian Carroll from A1 Glass, where we pride ourselves on providing our customers and contractors with shower enclosures that wow and last. No matter your taste or budget, A1 Glass has all of the top-of-the-line shower enclosures. Plus, our showroom is filled with options, so you can see it for yourself. A1 Glass, for all your glass needs.
This is Elisa Williams with RE/MAX Success on Main Street in Templeton, and we are proud to be a part of the national RE/MAX network that outperformed 2-1 over the competition according to the 2023 RealTrend survey. RE/MAX Success has over 50 agents in Slo County, and we still have multiple offers for listings. The market is robust in our area, and it's a good time to sell in Slo County. We have offices in North and South County. RE/MAXSuccessTeam.com.
Each RE/MAX office is independently owned and operated.
Passarobos Golf Club just ranked in the top 5 in California. Play Paso, the best conditioned course on the Central Coast. Visit the fully stocked golf shop. Upgrade your game with a lesson and club fitting in the state-of-the-art studio. Passarobos Golf Club is home to Deeds Bar and Grill. Enjoy prime rib Mondays, taco Tuesdays, wine down Wednesdays, and seasonal specials Thursday through Saturday. Try the all-new happy hour menu. Deeds is open daily for lunch and dinner with breakfast on the weekends. Play at Paso, dine at Deeds. There's no place like it.
The talk of North County, from Bradley to San Luis Obispo, San Miguel to Santa Margarita. This is where the North County comes to talk. KPRL.
Things you wish you could say. More with Lars.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. With millions of unvetted illegal aliens pouring into the country, new executive actions being taken by Joe Biden, not much change on Congress on Capitol Hill. Has the Biden administration's approach to border security finally crossed the line? I thought I'd put that question to Frank Gaffney, founder of the Center for Security Policy, a real hawk when it comes to safeguarding America's safety and security, and the author of the number one best-selling book on Amazon in its category, The Indictment, Prosecuting the Chinese Communist Party and Its Friends for Crimes Against America, China, and the World. Frank, welcome back.
It's good to be with you, Lars. Thank you.
So at what point does he cross the line? Americans, according to the polls, care a lot about border security now, more so than I think they have in decades. And Joe Biden is out doing things like today's announcement that he's going to create a pathway to citizenship for 500,000 illegal aliens without the benefit of congressional action.
Yeah, I'd say that he's actually crossed the line about 3 years ago upon taking office, Lars. It's just that it's finally catching up with him. And the public is, I believe now, increasingly, without regard for party affiliation, appalled by what they see happening. And today's action is just the latest in a series of affronts to common sense, to say nothing of public safety and national security. He was trying to get everybody to believe that he was taking action, what was it, a week ago or maybe two now, that he was really cracking down on that border. Boy, we got to make sure that we're not letting those illegal aliens in. And I'm not sure he used that term, but those undocumented people.
I'm glad to call them illegal aliens. It's perfectly descriptive. It's not derogatory. And in fact, using anything else like migrant, well, they're not coming and then leaving, so they're not a migrant, and they're not an immigrant if they've come into a country illegally and don't plan to abide by the country's laws and traditions and cultures and mores. They're not an immigrant either. They are illegally here, and they are a foreign national, an alien. So there you go.
You got it. And I don't think he used that term, but what he did say just was this was a problem, and he was going to take steps to correct it. And then he offloaded on Donald Trump the blame for the Congress not having taken steps to address this problem materially. And that's because the Biden administration didn't want the Congress to do that. They want the open border. They've done so since, as I say, day one of this administration. And what we're looking at now, I'm afraid, is the cumulative effects of all of this, Lars. And it's just hard to overstate the repercussions of it for our people, as well as, you know, our economy, as well as our national security.
Yeah, it is. And frankly, I don't think Joe Biden wants action or the Democrats, because the House of Representatives passed H.R. 2. That was a sensible border security bill. And the Senate Democrats said, no, we're not going to approve that. It's not going to Joe's desk. Then the Senate comes up with this cockamamie plan to institutionalize 5,000 illegal aliens a day coming into the country, and only actions after 5,000. And the Republicans in the House said, no, that's a non-starter. We're not doing it. Well, you can't blame them for inaction. If the House has passed a bill and the Senate wouldn't even put it up for a vote, That's action on the part of Republicans, which the Democrats immediately blocked, and which I'm sure Joe Biden would have vetoed had it come to his desk.
I think so. But more to the point, Lars, you're underscoring what actually has happened here. Is you have one House of Congress, under Republicans in this case, that was trying to take steps that would actually make a difference on the border. The other was more or less performative. What the Democrats and some Republicans came up with, and then the Republicans felt the heat of public outrage over it and walked away from it, not because of Donald Trump, I don't believe. I think it was because they were hearing from their constituents that dog wouldn't hunt, as they say. And in that case, what we wound up with was a perpetuation of what President Biden has wrought. And now what we're seeing, and by the way, Lars, I'm sure you're following this closely, but I had a very interesting conversation on our show with Todd Bensman today. And as you know, I'm sure he has been tracking very closely at the Center for Immigration Studies the numbers of people that have been flown into this country, bypassing the cartels, bypassing the, you know, the border such as it is, just being deposited in American cities all over the country. And he says there's something like 460,000 of them, on top of the numbers that, you know, keep cascading across those borders. And this is all by design. This is all being perpetuated by the administration. There is no end in sight as far as they're concerned, and why I believe that this whole thing has got to be repudiated this fall at the very latest.
And by the way, for people who wonder, Bensman, if I recall, is Center for Immigration Studies, and he knows the numbers well. And then consider, almost every week, Frank, we're hearing about a brand new crime or crimes committed by illegal aliens who've come across during Joe Biden's tenure with Joe Biden's assistance. And in some cases, they've come into the country multiple times, have been kicked out multiple times, and they just keep coming back in. And then they are tagged as the suspect in a murder of a young lady, a mother of five. And Joe Biden has no explanation for, well, you're not vetting any of these people. You're just letting them come in and turning them loose. And what was it, 10 days ago, that we had the members of ISIS that were coming in from Tajikistan? And they were also people who had crossed the border and were in the country and were finally arrested by the FBI, which is making a case against them for terror, for planning terrorism. And these are people who came in on Joe Biden's watch with Joe Biden's, not just his acquiescence, but his encouragement.
Completely correct. And Lars, let me just add into the mix before we run out of time, that on top of all this, you've got the so-called getaways who are completely unaccounted for. We have no idea who they are or where they've gone. But based upon the rest of the demographics of this operation, it seems likely that they are unaccompanied military-age men, predominantly.
Yep.
And that means that they are almost certainly going to be engaged in hostile activities against us. And, you know, the trouble is some of them are coming from China, as well as practically every jihadi nation on the planet. What could go wrong?
And if the bad guys on other sides of the planet have said, we want you to get in there, get yourself established on American soil, but don't do anything until after November. If Joe stays in, well, we can go ahead and do whatever we want. If Trump comes in and then the violence starts, then you're going to see critics of Trump say, well, see, this is Trump's fault. And all he's left with is, Joe let these people in. We warned you that this was going to be dangerous, and you've let jihadis into our country, and they're now carrying out their jihadi acts. And there's no way to unring that bell.
No, the big question is, do they wait until after the election? Do they do something sooner? And I think if it's the Chinese communists who are pulling the trigger, they may be doing it sooner, maybe the other month or two.
The other phenomena, Frank, and this goes outside of national security a bit, but I'm thinking that in 3 months, you're going to have parents who are wondering, why is my kid's school even more crowded than it was a year ago? Why are there so few teachers? And you say, well, that doesn't have to do with immigration. Yes, it does. Because if you've allowed in, at this point, nobody has a good number, 12 million, 15 million, plus a percentage of that in kids. And you've dumped that on American school systems that were already short of teachers, short of school space, short of resources. Then what's going to happen? And you're going to, and I hope Americans wake up that when they hear their kids saying, wow, the school's really, really crowded. And you're not going to have any of the school administrators tell you, by the way, we had to take in a couple of thousand illegal alien kids, and they're in there with your kids. You're paying the bill, but your kids are seeing the loss. That is Frank Gaffney. He's the founder of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., author of the number one bestseller in its category on Amazon, The Indictment. It is a pleasure to be with you on a Tuesday. I'll get to your phone calls and emails in just a moment. And then what I promise to tell you, despite record public school spending, student performance in Chicago is hitting rock bottom. It's not the money. The learning is not happening. And you've got the Lars Larson Show.
The Lars Larson Show.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero. The best price and service on brakes, tires, smog checks, oil changes, and more. Ace Auto Care. All your vehicle needs, everything you want.
Fox News, I'm Tom Rigotti. On the 12th anniversary of the creation of DACA, President Biden announces executive action to keep married couples with one undocumented partner together.
For those wives or husbands and their children who have lived in America for a decade or more but are undocumented, this action will allow them to file a paperwork for legal status in the United States. Allow them to work while they remain with their families in the United States.
The measure requires the undocumented spouse to pass a criminal background check. Former President Donald Trump campaigning in Racine, Wisconsin.
The Paso Robles City Council.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Heavenly Father, we give thanks and praise for all your mighty works. You're loving and good and gracious. Thank you for creating us and sustaining us day by day. Thank you that you made us in your image to exist in community with one another. We thank you for our city. Thank you for our elected officials, the businesses, the churches, the families, and the individuals that make our city a great place. Lord God, we acknowledge that we don't deserve these good gifts. We're not worthy of your favor, but we thank you for it. And we ask that our city would be known as a righteous city, a city that confesses Jesus as Lord, a city of peace and hope, a city with happy homes, a city with open hearts and minds. We thank you, God, that this is a city that welcomes the stranger, a city that cares for the needy, a city that defends the innocent, and a city that loves their neighbor as themselves. I pray that our civil servants would acknowledge their roles and perform them faithfully. Be with our judges, our attorneys, our law enforcement. Grant that they would never neglect or abuse their authority, but that they would stand firm for truth and justice. Keep them safe from harm as they serve our community. I pray for this council meeting tonight. Give the council members wisdom and guidance as they deliberate on the items before them. May every decision be righteous in your sight for our benefit and for your glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. And Madam Clerk, would you call the roll call, please?
Councilmember Bosch?
Here.
Councilmember Gregory?
Here.
Councilmember Roden?
Here.
Councilmember Strong?
Here.
Mayor Hammond?
Here. And can we have staff introductions beginning on my right, please?
Melissa Boyer, City Clerk, joined by Shauna Hauenstein, Civic Engagement Coordinator, and Karen Jackson, IT Technician.
Chris Hewitt, Assistant City Manager.
Thomas Rice, City Attorney's Office.
Frieda Berman, Public Works Director.
Paul Sloan, Economic Development Manager.
I'm Helica Horton, Community Services Director.
Rockwell Utilities Director. Airport Manager, Mark Stendhal. Paul Patty, Fire Marshal.
Ty Lewis, City Manager.
Elizabeth Hull, City Attorney.
Okay, thank you. First item tonight is going to be presentations. The first one is a Juneteenth proclamation, and could I have Tobin Johnson up forward with me, please?
Why'd you hold it? I'll read it right.
Perfect.
Proclamation declaring the third Saturday in June in the city of Paso Robles as Juneteenth Day. Whereas since 1865, the American celebration known as Juneteenth has historically been observed as the end of institution of slavery in the great nation of the United States. Whereas Juneteenth embodies the indomitable human spirit of the past, the present, and of all time. And whereas the celebration of Juneteenth gives us all the opportunity to rededicate ourselves to the true American spirit and to strive for a better, more perfect union. Whereas we are citizens who wish to secure the blessings of freedom, justice, equality in all of this great country of ours. And whereas the collaboration of community-based organizations, faith-based organizations, local businesses, local government demonstrate a shared commitment to bring part of the solution and acknowledging the importance of the strength of unity. And whereas June 19, 2024, Juneteenth, the observance of federal holiday in the United States commemorating the end of slavery. Now therefore, let it be resolved that I, John Hammond, by the virtue of authority invested in me as mayor and speaking on behalf of the entire city council, do hereby proclaim the third Saturday in June, the city of Paso Robles as Juneteenth Day.
Perfect.
Would you like to say a few words?
Hi, and good evening. My name is Tobin Johnson. I'm the president of our local NAACP chapter, and I'm so glad to be with you. I stand before you with a sense of gratitude and commitment, transparency, and integrity. So the history of slavery in America is one of the most significant and shameful aspects of our country's past. For over 200 years, millions of Africans were forcibly taken from their homelands and brought to the United States to work as enslaved people. Slavery was a brutal and dehumanizing institution that robbed people of their dignity, freedom, and humanity. We're here to celebrate Juneteenth as a part of our history and acknowledgement that our history, Black history, is important. Although we're celebrating the third year as a federal holiday, but we've been commemorating this for a long time as America's second Independence Day. So we must continue to know our history, continue to teach our kids our history, and what Juneteenth stands for is June 19th, if you're not familiar with it. But thank you so much to the council, to the mayor. I appreciate you all doing this, and we continue working together and building our community for better.
Thank you very much, Toby.
Thank you so much.
Item two, celebrate local projects. Paul Sloan, I think you're going to be up, Economic Development Manager.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of council. Paul Sloan, Economic Development Manager. Thank you for the opportunity to present this project to you this evening. As background to the project, several months ago, City Manager Lewis sent out an email with the direction to develop a marketing campaign to encourage residents to support our local businesses. Ideally, this would be a collaborative effort with our stakeholder group partners working together to find a path forward that embodies the best characteristics and talents of our community. So I reached out to our stakeholder partners, Main Street, Wine Alliance, Travel Paso, and the Chamber, and each of them immediately jumped on board. And this was a collaborative project from day one. So we did a lot of brainstorming on how do we approach this project. And obviously we came up with the idea of videos. They say pictures worth 1,000 words and the video is worth 1,000 pictures. And the theme of this video is to highlight the people that make the small businesses run and contribute not only to our local economy, but to the wonderful quality of life that we enjoy here in Paso. And we call it Celebrate Local.
You see them out every morning, getting ready for the day. They're our friends and our neighbors who've perfected the art of showing up. While they're rarely in the spotlight, you'll find them at the center of our lives. They're artisans, makers, creators, tradespeople, the merchants of happiness, purveyors of a job, well done. They make it look easy. There's more than meets the eye behind their talents and their wares. It took them years of training, imagination, and investment to get to where they are today. And now they open their doors and welcome us into their world. Paso Robles is a place where legendary work ethic meets relentless creativity. The heart of it all for those who help us get things done and live a good life. And their doors are always open because we show up too. Find the things we can't find anywhere but in our own backyard. Together we are community. Together we make Paso Robles proud, independent, and one of a kind.
You can clap. So a little bit about the background of this. We wanted to make sure we walked the walk. And so the production company we worked with is a local company. In fact, the founder grew up here in Paso. And we wanted to make sure we talked the talk when it came to the voice for the narration. And after we'd come up with the storyline and the script, the production company sent us this direction. It says, our gut is to have a seasoned male voice with a voice of wisdom and insightful reflection. So in a pinch, I could fake seasoned male voice, but wisdom and reflection, that eludes me.
Doesn't work.
So with my colleagues on staff, we were brainstorming to see who do we know, who would sound good on this. And we were trying to think, who do we know? And we're listening to people's voices. And literally the next day, my colleague, associate planner, Katie Bannister, walked over to my desk and she goes, I think I found your voice. And a gentleman had come into City Hall for something completely different, obviously. And I went up to speak with him, and he had this great voice. So I handed him the script, and I asked him to read it, and everyone was like, wow. So I explained to him what the project was and asked if he'd be willing to do the voiceover for it. And he had one question. He said, is this something that works to bring people together? And I said, yes. And he says, then that's something I can get behind and I can support. So a little bit about him. He's a multi-generational Roblin. He's a Bearcat, graduated with the Paso Robles High School class of 1974, attended Cal Poly. He was actually a member of City Council back in the 80s. And he continues his service to the community today at the New Light Baptist Church, and he's Paso's own chaplain, Ken Parrish. He's not here this evening, but he's listening on the radio. Yeah. If you want to give him a round of applause. Yeah. So next week, we'll begin rolling out communications on this, press releases and social media that Shauna Howenstein here in our office has put together. Starting in July, we'll be running a shortened version of this on all the screens before all the films at Park Cinemas, and those will run throughout the summer. And we got all the blockbusters coming out. The domain name, celebratelocalpaso.com, that goes to a landing page on the city website where it has a few excerpts from the video and the script, but then it has the four logos of the four stakeholder partners, and they all link to their respective lists of local businesses. So we try to make it a project that supports local businesses. This was a project of collaboration from start to finish, hands down, and I want to give a very big thank you and shout out to our local stakeholder partners, because we're very fortunate to have such a concentration of talented marketing professionals who are exceptionally good at what they do. So a thank you to the Wine Alliance, Travel Paso, the Chamber, and Main Street. Last but not least, I would like to just point out, this was funded out of the economic development budget. In case anyone knows, that's my budget. And one of the key parts of economic development is business retention and expansion, which means supporting our local businesses, which I hope we've done with this. So with that, I'm happy to take any comments, questions.
Well, I just want to make sure that you keep your film directing career right here in Paso Robles. We don't want you going off the banner. Well done, Paul. Any questions for Paul?
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you. Thumbs up. Well done.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It. All right, moving on. We are in general public comments. This is the time that the public may address the council on items within its purview but not scheduled on tonight's agenda. Council or staff may briefly respond to statements or questions posed by the public. Please fill out a speaker card and give it to our city clerk prior to speaking, and you'll have 3 minutes. Those people wishing to speak on an item scheduled for tonight's agenda will be given the opportunity at the time the agenda item is considered.
First up, looks like we have Linda. Go ahead.
Hi. Are these a message? Earplugs? Did you guys need these before I start? 3126 Spring Street, Linda George. They're earplugs up here. I came for other reasons, but I found out recently, I just explained to the fire chief, that the inspection that I got on through HCD, the MRLPP, Mobile Home Residency Law Protection Program, on 3126 Spring Street revealed a gas leak. So the gas leak has been repaired. They were going to evacuate. Of course, they only told half the park, not all of us. So they were going to evacuate. They found out that the gas leak was not as severe, and it is repaired now. So all my anxiety about blowing up in that park is over. I want to thank Chief and Fire Marshal for coming out with my demands and asking for fire lanes, because now our park is probably going to be the safest park right now in Paso Robles. But that's it for today. There's a lot of things going on statewide. As you know, that Governor Newsom is trying to undermine Prop 47. He's tailor-made about 15 bills that will repeal this and repeal that. County DA Dan Dow is asking people to get involved relative to the other initiative that passed, ending the homeless, ending the crime and all that stuff. So we got a couple bills that are up there at the state capitol that are to try to get crime illegal again. So, but otherwise, I see you have a full house, and I'm not going to keep you guys tonight. It's going to be fun. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Got one more coming in at you. Welcome.
Mayor Hammond and members of the council, I'd like to start by saying thank you for the work you do on our behalf on the city council. Your work is vital and we appreciate it. My name is Brett Knupfer and I'm a member of the Paso Robles Democratic Club. I'm here tonight. Tonight we are making our initial announcement of our first annual Steve Martin Community Service Award in honor of former Paso Robles Mayor Steve Martin, whose contributions to the city were many and included bringing a wide range of community members together to work for the greater good of our community. Mrs. Jennifer Martin, Steve's widow, unfortunately can't be with us here tonight in person, but she is supporting our efforts here fully. The Steve Martin Community Service Award will, importantly, be nonpartisan. Each year, it will be given to a member of our local community from Paso Robles, Chandon, San Miguel, or Templeton, who has made a valuable contribution to improve our quality of life. For instance, the award may be given to residents who have brought people together to work in common purpose to improve our community in terms of housing, agriculture, the environment, education, safety, social services, or various other endeavors. It is worth repeating that the Steve Martin Service Award, Community Service Award, is a nonpartisan award. Central to its purpose and theme is not one's political affiliation, but rather the bringing together of community members to work in common purpose for the betterment of our community. The award will be given in December of each year, beginning this year, at a local press event, and will consist of a handsome tabletop crystal award that looks sort of like this. And a $250 stipend. With this announcement, we are now seeking award nominations, which can be submitted online or by hard copy. We will provide you here with copies of the hard copy nomination form along with a cover letter that explains this award fully and the nomination process. The award for the address for the online and paper versions are on the cover letter. And we look forward to talking with each one of you as our elected community leaders and to other community members about the contributions of our fellow residents, the ones that they have made. We encourage you and your neighbors to consider contributions of people that you know to nominate them for this first annual Steve Martin Community Service Award. Thank you.
Thank you, Bert. Do you guys have a website that people can find you at and maybe get that information from?
Yes, we do. Our website is pasorobelsdemocrats.org.
Very good.
And I will, as I said, I will leave this here with you tonight, and I will have copies in the back for anybody who is interested.
Thank you, Bert.
Thank you very much.
I didn't
fill out a card. I don't know if I'm supposed to do that, but I'm here. So my name's Ron Walters from Paso Robles. I have a question, two questions on the homeless situation in the town. I know that Paso and all the cities are doing the best they can to help the homeless find places in Echo and all these other places. My two concerns are the city park here. There's constantly people sleeping in the park over there at night, and I'm wondering if we can encourage the police department to make more patrols for people not to sleep there. I will add that the police department, I appreciate they're doing the best they can with their hands tied and limiting what they can do. The second issue is right behind these three windows, you have a lady that has lived there for 3 months. She has her possessions there. She stays there. The police cannot move her out. And I'm suggesting that that is a bad situation. If we get additional people starting living there, you're going to have a situation where you may have 4, 5, 6 people going, oh, if she can do it, then I can do it, then I can do it. And they're having difficulty moving that person out. I would like to make a suggestion. I would like to suggest, because that alcove is really not used, I'd say you put a wrought iron fence up there or play music at night to make it not a comfortable place to sleep or put lights up. Also, encourage the person to go to the Echo and get her shelter over there. Sleeping 3 months outside the backside of your window there is not appropriate. It's not good for the city, and we need to do something about it. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else?
Mr. Mayor, if I can just respond to that one briefly.
Yes.
Just so that everyone's aware, the city does have an anti-camping ordinance. Unfortunately, Boise v. Martin, a decision of the courts from the Ninth Circuit a few years ago, really limited our abilities to enforce camping ordinances. There is the Grants Pass case, which was argued at the Supreme Court a few months ago, and we are awaiting a decision. And once we have that information from the Supreme Court, hopefully within the next month or so, we will be in a better position to update our ordinance and potentially take some additional actions or have some more resources. But we need a decision from the Supreme Court before we're really in a position to do anything different.
Basically, we are doing everything legally we can do at this point in time until we get more clarification.
Until we get some more clarification. And yeah, they did have the arguments recently, and we do expect a decision this summer.
Yeah. Thank you, Elizabeth. Okay. We're going to – oh, one more. Sure. Welcome.
Hi, everybody. Ana Munoz, maestra. Happy almost Juneteenth to our people, of course. And I'm excited to hear that our events are on the agenda because we're working really hard to make sure we have great events. I want to come here and personally say gracias. I see people working so hard every day to make Paso great, and it's just a great feeling. I personally belong to a group of talented artists, a lot of them Latino, Sudamerica, and they love to display their wares. And that's why we're hoping we can get this on the agenda, because to hand make, embroidery, crochet, weld, all those great artistic talents take a couple months to get ready for the big events. So we're excited to hear about it. On a fun note, my family loves Halloween, and many local people love Halloween. Some of us even celebrate halfway to Halloween, kind of like Christmas in July. And we're excited to put on a safe and fun Halloween this year to include activities in the park. It really does take a couple months to put that all together and make it really great for our children. Y para mi gente, we always work tirelessly in the fields, restaurants, hospitality jobs, and growing the grapes for our legendary Paso wine. Therefore, we are super excited, feliz, to celebrate Dia de los Muertos in honor of our ancestors who came before us. I want to make sure that we remember all the great people and the good times. Like, I was just at the concert in the park. Thank you for everybody who does that. That's an awesome activity. And these upcoming events will be similar, will be a time for all the community to come together and build new memories. Thank you, and please start thinking about Halloween and Día de los Muertos, because it takes us time to put it all together. Thank you.
Thank you. Austin, welcome.
Good evening, City Council and members of the community. My name is Austin Solheim. I'm the Director of Operations and Development for El Camino Homeless Organization, or otherwise known as ECHO. I wanted to come here and share tonight and hearing some of the comments. I know that there is more to do, but I'm proud to tell you that today, in 2024 alone, ECHO has helped 110 individuals and families find stable housing in our community. It is an incredible, We are so grateful for the investment that the community and the city have made into our programs, into our services, and we just want to say thank you to every single person. We are also proud to share that, you know, you don't have to wait for me to come to public comment anymore to see what that number is, and because now it's going to be shared on ECHO's website at echoshelter.org, right on the banner. And I'm also proud to tell you that it is already wrong, because two individuals just moved out 2 hours ago, and so it just moved to 110. So it's going to say 108 on the website till I get in tomorrow morning. But I'm just incredibly grateful to the community, to the city council for your support, and just thank you for making so many individuals' lives so much better and giving them the opportunity to find stability and find housing in our community. So thank you all.
Thank you, Austin, for your partnership. Welcome.
Hi, I'm Dave Nelson. I want to thank the city for removing the parking kiosks, and I hope that we will get as much money as we can for them, wherever and however, and not see them again. I've sent in some questions regarding a later issue, and I'm going to request that either Councilmember Bausch or Councilmember Gregory read my email into the record, since it's not actually submitted on the record, at whatever the appropriate time is, and I would like to make a point of order at that time regarding the airport. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Okay, we'll go ahead and close public comment then and move on. Agenda items to be deferred. Mr. Lewis, do we have anything set up for that?
No, sir, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Let's go ahead then. And next is the overview of the items on consent calendar. Consent calendar is coming up. These are items on consent that are not typically considered routine, or rather they are considered routine, and do not normally require separate discussion. However, a member of the council or the public that has a specific question or wants a more clarification on an item can it be addressed at the time before it's taken. Any member of council or public wishes to pull the full discussion item, the item will then be put on the end of the discussion calendar to end tonight's meeting. So start off with council. Does anybody have anything on consent items 1 through 9 to have questions or would like to have pulled? Anyone from the public would like to have anything pulled and or question on?
Yes, I had a question about the advocacy, the grant writing, or the Townsend. Number 7.
Do we have a actual question, or is it something that you want to have answered, obviously, or pulled to the end? Which way, what would you like
to
have?
The actual question is this, because we just, it was announced that the library received a $75,000 grant.